Amen. We give God the glory this morning. Can somebody say, just say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just wanted to sing a piece of that song because the word that God has placed in my spirit this morning is stay the course. And as I begin to hear the testimonies of the people this morning, and as we begin to just listen to the praises that went up this morning, I just was inspired by what God was doing in the midst of the people this morning. But God had placed in my spirit a word that was saying, stay the course. And I believe that the reason why God is saying stay the course is because we as people and as a church and the people of God are losing our focus. It is so easy to share the word of God and to testify to somebody about the goodness of God, but it's still very important that we get something straight. What we need to get straight is understand that we need to stay the course. We need to be in a place where we're locked in and homed in to the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power and authority of the Holy Ghost that Jesus left for us. Because like the song I just said, that Jesus is going away for the bride and he's coming soon, church. But the enemy is trying to distract us with so many things, and he's trying his hardest to get us off course. God uses people that are not perfect. The Bible shows us that God uses people who are not perfect. We have observed great victories in the Bible of so many individuals. We observed how God was able to use Moses and Joseph, but God is also using you, and you. He's got a calling in your life, and God is saying it's time to stay the course. It's so easy to get off course. It's so easy to get distracted and discouraged. We have observed great victories and some great failures in the life of Joseph. I'm going to talk about Joseph. But in spite of his failure, he was still a godly man. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, despite Joseph's failures, he was still a godly man. And the reason why I'm saying in spite of his failure, sometimes we get like this. We go through things in our life, and because we get a little turmoil, we decide we're no longer going to walk in the things of God. But despite what you're going through, God has chosen you for a specific mission, and it's important that you finish the course. The enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, so he's not going to stop doing what he's supposed to be doing. But you as a child of God, don't you want to grow up and be mature spiritually? But God's saying you cannot become spiritually mature unless you surrender to the course that he's laid before you. Now, it's not enough to come to church and shout and praise the Lord all the time and not understand what God is trying to do. Joseph gives Israel God's formula for remaining in the land under God's blessing. And I like this passage. God wants to bless Israel. God wants to bless all of his people to succeed. But in the scripture that I'm going into, Joseph took over after Moses. Joseph was given the direction of God, how to finish the course that Moses started. But guess what? He was not perfect. He didn't do everything correctly, but yet he gave the people a formula how to be successful. God does not want you to struggle and always have to be oppressed. God said, I'm not only going to deliver you and free you, but I'm going to send you to a place called promise. How many of you have heard something from God and you know that you know that you know that God has told you this? He has told you that you're going to be blessed. He told you that your child's going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. He told you that you shall live and not die with that cancer, that affliction in your body. But guess what? It ain't going to come easy. You got to stay the course. All the testimonies that went on this morning were talking about how God ministered to you. But guess what? The Bible says that he left the Holy Ghost for you to speak and to guide you. So you have to allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. Not by man, but by the Spirit. How many in here want to be led by the Spirit this morning? I don't want to be just a church goer. I want to be a God knower because I want to know who God is. And to know who God is, you got to know his voice. The scripture in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like a newborn baby craves pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The scripture saying like a newborn baby craves spiritual milk so that they may grow up and know the Lord. Now we're not growing up because we don't want spiritual milk. We want to hear and we want to receive information, but we don't want to grow up. And guess what? You can't stay on course if you don't start to understand who he is and what he's all about. Now, as we look into our life and the situation that we're going through, God is trying to get us in a place where we're stable. Let's get stabilized, church. When I talk about stabilized, let's look at your life like a plane on a flight. You got passengers inside the plane, and you're piloting that plane. And you ever gone on a course where when you enter the plane, you seen the pilot before you got on the plane? How many of you have seen the pilot before you get on the course? And you know, a lot of times he'll greet you. He'll say, how you doing? You feel good about it. You get in a plane, and then he goes into his cockpit, and then you begin the flight. Now, if you're going from Massachusetts to Florida, and it's a three-hour flight, and that gentleman is the pilot of the plane, and all of a sudden, he's flying the plane, and he just begins to announce over the speaker, PA system, excuse me, everybody, but I decided to change course. Instead of going to Florida, we're going to first stop in Bermuda because I got to pick up my wife's ring. Then he says, by the way, also, we're not only going to stop in Bermuda, but then we're going to go over to Alaska to talk to Sarah Palin because she's a friend of mine, and I just want to go hang out with her for a while. You all would be in the middle of the plane going crazy like, oh, no, what's wrong with this guy? He done lost his mind. Yes, there you go. He has lost his course. His focus was about everything that was going on in his life. I'm going somewhere. Don't you know that somebody is your passenger? Somebody is riding you. They are being led by the Spirit through you. And you're not focused. You're not on course. Your children's children, you're prophesying that God said you will have and you will live and not die. This cannot be so if you do not stay on course, men and women of God. It's not just enough to get the Holy Ghost and start shouting and dancing. It's not just enough to quote scriptures so that you can interpret the word. But God is saying, I've given you a course. And I've told you, you need to be on time, because when I show up, I'm looking for somebody that's ready and on time, somebody that's ready to answer the call. So I believe that you're here not to just be here, but you're here to learn from God. God wants to bless his people to succeed. God still wants all of his people to succeed. He does not just want Israel to succeed. He wants every one of you that receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So that's why we got to be blessed and allow God to continue to bless us. From a biblical perspective, success is doing God's will and staying with it. You hear that? The word says success is doing God's word and staying with it. I believe everybody's not here this morning, but those that should be here are here today. Because God has a word for you, you, you. Amen. So we need to understand that success is doing God's will and staying with it. Can you stay with what God requires of you? Can you make a personal challenge in your life and take some responsibility for your life? This is what God is saying. We have to take responsibility for our life. Now, what do I mean by this? It's so easy to go through life blaming people for why you are not where you want to be or where you should be. But don't you know that you're the plane? You're the pilot flying this plane, and you are going off course because you're not trusting in the God that's in you. But I know that the word says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So guess what? I know that I have more than enough to complete the course that God set for me. But you have to know it for yourself, church. The course, the things that God has for you, is going to be a blessing to you if we stay the course. Now, even though we stay the course, God wants us to understand that he taught them, the people of Israel, Joshua taught the people of Israel to remain faithful for the long haul. And I'm going somewhere with my message today. To remain faithful for the long haul. Now, to remain faithful for the long haul means that we need to understand the covenant of service. It says here that the people said that they were determined to serve God. This is what the people of Israel were determined to do. They were determined to serve God. And it says here that God took the people serious in what they were saying. In the scripture, Ecclesiastic 5, 4, and 5. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Now, this is the NIV. It says here, pay that which thou hast vowed. It's better is it that thou should not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay it. Now, this is a word of God. Joseph was talking to the people of Israel, trying to teach them how to remain in their blessing. He was trying to give them an understanding how you're going to maintain your blessings. And one of the things he was telling the people, he said, do not make a vow to the Lord that you don't plan on keeping. Now, we as people of God, we do this all the time. We get up, we share, we testify, oh yeah, I'm going all the way in the Lord. The next thing that goes wrong, we're gone, we're out, we're no longer in the Lord. But God is saying, hey, listen, I got your back, but do you have mine? And we as people don't want to be accountable to nothing. We want to just say and do and never, ever, ever have nobody check what we done said. And what does this do for us? It teaches you how to be a better you and stay in the promise of God. This is what God's word is going to do for you. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, you know, why do I go to church? Why do I have a relationship with God? But God is saying, I created you in my image. And guess what? I've also created you so that you will be blessed because you are the seed of my son, which is Jesus that died on the cross. See, so you look like me. And he said, I have an inheritance for you, but I want you to understand one thing. I need you to know who I am and understand that you are my child and that I want you to be blessed. Now, the people of Israel, they went into the promise, but Joshua was trying to tell them, can you stay here? And he was trying to tell them that you can't stay in the promise or the things of God or the blessings that God has for you. Let's make it practical. The things that God has for you. Do you really want to be successful in your household? Then God says to us, he says, stay the course and make a vow that you understand and make it clear to yourself so that you can do what you say. Because God is making men and women of integrity. Let's give God some praise. There's a problem in the church. You know what the problem is? The church feels that it doesn't have to be have integrity. The church feels today's church does not always walk in integrity. You know what we walk in? Political correctness. What we walk in is we say, well, as long as they're not for homosexuality or they're not for abortion, then we're good with them. But God is saying that the life of a man is what matters. He says lie is as witchcraft. Do you understand that we got the spirit of witchcraft out in this country right now? You see, we have to be people of integrity. What comes out of your mouth needs to be fulfilled. So if you love the Lord, you make a vow to God. God says sow into his kingdom, and you said, I'm going to sow, then just sow. If God says something to you about what he's going to do for you and your family, then guess what? You have to manage yourself so that you may receive the promise. God didn't let you down. This is what God is saying to the body today. He did not let you down. So many of us have a father or mother in our life, and that they might have passed away or they left you. Have you been raised where your father or mother, someone told you that they were going to do something for you and they didn't do it? And then they told you again and they didn't do it? Told you again and they didn't do it. What happens to that relationship? Tell me. It goes down. Is that right? Why is it that we make a vow to God and say, Lord, I'm going to be serious. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do your word. I'm going to challenge my life to change. See, guess what? God, the devil don't want you to change. He'd rather you be busy in church. He'd rather you just be a good church goer and show up every time and show up every time it's open, but not change. But the scripture is saying that if you make a vow to the Lord, this is what Joshua was telling them. He was saying to the people, I'm going to show you the covenant that you need to make with God. The covenant that you need to make with God, Israel, is I want you to understand this. If you settle yourself down and you do what you say, you become a man of your word, guess what? You're going to stay in the promise of God. And that's what God is saying to the church today. If you're a man and woman of your word, you're going to stay in the promise of God. You're not going to lose the promises of God. But the enemy wants to do, he got to try to get into your mind to get you to lose the promise of God by changing your course. So Josh told them that they were to be a witness to what they were claiming. That's one of the things of the covenant with God. He was telling the people of Israel to be a witness to what they were claiming. Now, when you talk about being a witness, that means you got to be responsible for what you're saying now. How many times we get up and just say all kind of stuff? Some people say, well, you know, in the church, they're hypocrites. They don't really love God. Because you see him in church one way, you see him out on the street another way. God is trying to challenge us because he said, I am going to make your path straight. But I'm going to get you out of religious relationship. I'm going to get you out of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness means I don't have to correct myself because I'm right. That's the spirit that's going on today. Even the church has to repent. The Bible says that if my people were called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, then I will what? Heal the land. If my people who are called, it didn't say any old people. He said who? The people that are called would humble themselves. That means we, as the children of God, have to get humble and meek. We don't want that. We want to study the word. We want to know the word so well so that we can debate one another. That's what's going on. People are knowing the word, but they're using it as a sword against one another. And it's as a double-edged sword, so it can be used to kill as well. And so what God is saying to all of us, that stay the course when you make your vow, when you made your commitment, when you said, I do, then you're saying it to God. Let's look at what's going on in society today with the marriages. In the cultures where they are in arranged marriages, do you know they have a higher percentage of success in marriage than the marriages that are in our United States where we pick and choose who we want to be married to? Now, we feel that we're so free. Oh, yeah, you know, we're so free. That's what we do. We're so free in America, we can do what we want to do. The other countries, the parents look and they observe. They say, oh, she would be beautiful for you. Oh, he would be beautiful for you. In America, oh, how dare you ask your parents who to love? You see what I mean? But yet we have a higher divorce rate in our own choosing. And the reason why this is so, we don't even realize this in counseling. I tell people right now, the first marriage is like almost 51% divorce rate. Second marriage is like 68% divorce rate. Third marriage is like 72. You say, why does it get worse? You figured after the first one, you know what you're doing. So you'll pick a little better or be more. No, it has nothing to do with the picking. It talks about how it's about the community surrounding them. Because you got children from the other relationship. You got in-laws from the other relationship. You got all this. You see what I'm saying? It just stacks up, stacks up, stacks up. So your odds become less and less. And what the devil does to us in society, in the church, Moses allowed divorce because the people asked for it. But the reason why I'm going here with the message, I'm trying to show you how we do things and we want things and we make vows to God and we get married and we go through all these formalities. Then we even get people to show up and give us gifts. And we are straight out planning on lying. Because we didn't make a vow to God that we planned on keeping. Because when you said I do to anything that you say before God, you're supposed to be held accountable for it and to it. So if I say I do to my wife, I'm supposed to be accountable to her. And to do it, that means stay with it. Stay the course, church. Do you want your children to see success? Then let's start walking in success. Let's stop compromising with ourselves and doing things we feel like doing so that we can get away with it. No, you made a vow, you said it to God, you do it. Because greater is he that is in you than that spirit that's in the world. So the things of the world, you have the ability to overcome. And next point that Joseph shows them, it says, he tells them to not just say they would serve God, but calls on them to prove it in their acts. Yes. Now, prove it in your acts. Prove it in your acts means you need to be bringing it. If you say, it's like someone, you ever have someone come to you and say, yeah, I can sing. Now, I'm a singer, so if you tell me you can sing, you better bring something. If you come to me and say, like, yeah, I can sing, I say, well, sing this. He goes, well, you know, yeah. You'd be like, excuse me, I know you're good, I love you, you're nice, but you didn't prove to me that you can sing. You see what I mean? But what we do with people, the people of God, we don't prove nothing. Somebody come off the street and say, I'm a minister. Everyone starts saying, oh, well, praise God. Someone come off the street and say, I'm a pastor. Oh, praise God. Let's bring them up in the church. No one proves nothing. I remember a story I told you a while back where there was a gentleman that went to a church. He was an escapee. And he went to a church in the deep south. And he started doing free work for the church. And then they hired him as a maintenance man. Then they made him a minister. Didn't make him prove anything of his past. They found out that he was escapee and he had done 2 to 3 murders. You see, so they just welcome the devil right to the pulpit. Because we do not have to prove nothing. But Jesus says, see, he talks to us about living a life of integrity. So I'm challenging the people of God to stay the course. Are you ready to stay the course? Come on, somebody say, I'm ready to stay the course. See, because God has a plan for you, you and you. And the thing that gets me is this. I'm one of them pastors that I've learned this. My father was a bishop. We've been in ministry all my life. I was in ministry since 7 years old. And I had all the same opportunities as everyone else. When I didn't go and do the drugs, do the sex before marriage, I didn't go and smoke the cigarettes, never even drink a beer. Would never even swore, because that was me. It wasn't because of my parents, but they were a great example, and that's how it was. Now, I wasn't perfect, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so there's nobody that can walk in perfection. But what I'm saying to the church is, can we at least try? You know what I mean? Somebody, can we at least try to change? You can't sit there and justify what you're doing with your lifestyle and with the things that you're doing and think that you're on course with the will of God. You see, I want to be able to say good things about you, but man, I have to go and talk to the wife first. Women, I got to go talk to husbands. I got to go talk to your wife first and see if you really are a nice guy. We don't want that. We'll come to church and cut steps. Then we'll go home and curse someone out. Then we'll go home and grab that Bud Light and stay at the TV all night drunk. This is the course that we're living. The Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. That means when you're reaching out, when you're blessing, you and I, we have to be aware that we have to be accountable for what we do. I know it's hard to be in a small church. We came from a bigger church. I like the small church. You know why? Because guess what? The people aren't getting hidden in the pews. So that means I know if you were here or not. That means I can call you up and say, how you doing today? That means I can check on you and see. And guess what? You even know where I am and where I live. So you know your pastor is accountable. And the vow that I made before God was, is this, is that I'm going to, for God I live, and for God I die. That's the vow that I made to God. So my vow to God is not for God if I got a Mercedes, for God if I got a house, for God if I got a great bank account, then I'm going to be saved. So when I have a little, I still tithe. When I have much, I still tithe. We don't do that. We don't do that. We'll talk a lot of stuff, but we don't follow through with the word of God. And then we hold God accountable. But you made a vow. How many of you want to keep your vows? Raise your hands. Hallelujah. And now let's think about your marriages. How many of you want to keep your vow? Raise your hands. Somebody be bold. Now, because like the brother said, God has promised to bless your generation after generation after generation. But the devil came in and he's splitting up the generations. He's tearing down the generational churches. He's tearing down generation families. And he's scattering us abroad because we do not want to change. We do not want to stay on course because a course is not self-righteousness, but the course is righteousness. And a good dad chastises those that are wrong. What I'm saying to you, the Bible says that we're watchmen for your soul. Are you coming here to play church? Are you coming here to be compromised with? I want to see those that come and preach and sing first be the first partakers. That means if you dare sit up here, you're going to be questioned. If you dare minister up here, you're going to be questioned because guess what? Somebody needs to see that you are living according to the word of God. Because as you do this, what it's going to do, it's going to build strong soldiers of faith. It's going to build people, men and women of God, that have backbone and that are like a tree standing by the water that will not never run dry. And so now we don't have a bunch of weak Christians. Every other week, we're trying to pray them to strength. But instead, you got soldiers. How many of you want to be soldiers? Some of us act like we're big and tough, but we ain't tough because we're crying every other weekend. What God is saying, do not just drink of the milk, but he said, I'm giving you spiritual milk so that you may grow. I like the testimony of my sister here today. She was sowing into lives of someone else. And what did God do? He turned it right around and blessed his son. So you're talking about blessing your kids, but you don't want to live right. So when that pastor tells them not just to say that they're going to serve God, but he calls on them to prove it, their response was to repeat that what they had said previously. One of the things that the people said, that they made a vow to God. I'm going to be done now. I got two more scriptures and we're done. He establishes a covenant with his people and sets up a stone. This is what Joshua told them. Let's set up a covenant of stone. And he told them, whenever you see this covenant, a stone, it's to do what? Do you know what it was to do? Remind them. What we do as church people, what we do is, you don't need to talk about my past. You don't need to remind me. You shouldn't judge me. No. We shouldn't cut down one another. But what we have to understand is that the Bible is judging your walk. We're supposed to remind you of the things that God has done in your life. And see, the Bible says you overcome by the word of your testimony. And that's why the devil wants you quiet. That's why the devil don't want you talking. That's why the devil don't want you reaching out. Because God wants to make you an overcomer. Yeah. Now, I will guarantee you this. You come on Sunday morning, I want you to grow. I want you to be like a little seed, but by the 2 months from now, you're going to have some real growth. And the real growth is going to be this, is that you're going to be molded and shaped according to the Word of God, not according to your perspective anymore. I'm going to get that out of you because that's what God said do. He said, turn us around so that we understand that we want to be like Jesus. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? I want you to be like Jesus so that when I sing that song that he's coming soon, he's coming for a bride that's in spot of, without a spot or wrinkle. But when you show up, you go before the master, you can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope you're receiving the word this morning. Amen. We're about done now. Amen. I hope you're receiving this. So he established a covenant with the people and set up stones to remind them of their commitment. So these are the things that God has told Joshua. He said, make the people accountable. And that's the formula to remain in your promise. So now if you'll come to church, say, I didn't know what you said, Pastor. The formula to remain in your promise is what? To make a vow and keep it. Don't make a vow and don't plan on keeping it. And to be accountable for the things you do and say. The way you walk, the way you live. And what I want to encourage everyone here, if you want to really, really get straight, do it at home. Do it at home. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Care about how your spouse views you. You young ones that are ready to get married, pay attention to these details. It's easy to court and impress somebody, but it's harder to live with somebody because then you know the nitty-gritty. You know if they're neat or clean or if they're rude or they're not a good worker or they just stay at home and do nothing. You know it then. You see, the show is over. But the Bible says your first church is your home. And I'm going to say this because I grew up in a home of pastors. So my father was a pastor, then he was a bishop. My grandfather was a pastor, he's a bishop. And my father's father was a pastor. So that's all we knew. We had we're the third generation now. And the church grew. But you know when the devil tried to destroy the church, it was all about integrity. Because men and women were on a pulpit, were not walking in integrity. And my father said, no, we're not having that. Said, if you're going to be called of God, you're going to be on a pulpit, we're going to do things right. A lot of us, we just want to fill our church. We want to just have great singers and all this. And we don't want to challenge them in life. Now, I'm willing to fish for men because the Bible says, Jesus said, follow me and I'll teach you how to be fishers of men. So I'm willing to fish. That means I need some bait. But the bait, I don't have to compromise. That means, okay, I might have got them in with a little bait, but then I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to size them up. I'm going to diagnose them. Like I was talking about last week's word, it was said, I run to you in my brokenness. You see, but the thing is, the good thing is, like I was telling you last week, when you get yourself in a place where you're going through diagnostics are designed to go through your system and figure out what's wrong. So church, let's allow God to go through us and make us right. Because I'm going to end with this. You want to be in a place spiritually where you can stay in the promise of God. You don't want to lose what God has given you. So Joshua gave the children of Israel the formula to stay in their blessing.